This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm excited. I'm here to work. I'm here to win games with the Chicago Bears and win games for the Chicago Bears. And I've just been in here working, growing the bond and trust and belief between the coaches and my teammates, offense, defense, special teams. It doesn't matter. We're all one. And we're heading on the right trend, I would say. But we got to keep going and keep growing.
Caleb Williams on Fox Chicago. Time now to talk some football with Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show with Brian Baldinger. He is on Twitter at BaldyNFL and joins us not only on twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, but the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Baldy, what's up?
Well, good afternoon, guys. I mean, we're in the countdown, right? We're in the countdown. I'm heading to Brazil next Tuesday. Get ready for that showdown with Green Bay and Philadelphia. So we're in the countdown here to kick off, man. I'm excited.
Did you ask for the trip to Brazil or was it just presented to you?
I asked.
Why did you ask?
I've been going out of Brazil since 1986. I went down for Carnival with my brother. Been down with a bunch of friends over the years, some guys that live there. I just wanted to get down there. I wanted to see what this scene is going to look like because I've been down there for World Cup games. I've been down there for Pro Beach Volleyball Championships. But I can't imagine anything really bigger than what this game is going to be like down there.
Do you speak Portuguese?
Falo Portuguese, like, you know, just a piquito.
You must have some peeps down there. I'm picturing you get to the airport, like a bunch of black SUVs pull up.
I got the son of the chief of police coming. Ronaldo Santos, absolutely. He'll be there to pick me up.
Let's go.
That is awesome. They had joked with Cairo Santos, the kicker for the Bears, because he's from Brazil, about him maybe trying to get down there to see the game. But he said, you know, it's too close. Like the margin of error is too extreme for him to be able to get back and kick on time. But I think it's a really cool thing that the NFL is doing by expanding. And I love that it's in a place that you wouldn't expect.
I was blown away when it came down. I mean, I was shocked and surprised that they would go there. Not because they can't handle or whatever. It's just a lot of logistics. You know, in fact, I think they've changed the whole, like I used to go down there. You'd always needed a visa to get into Brazil. Well, they've waived all that now. So I think fans can just go down, you know, and I think they've taken the visa thing away for like a year. That's what's been explained to me. So that, I mean, they're kind of opening it up here for fans, but I remember throwing footballs, you know, with kids down in Copacabana Beach. They didn't really know what it was, but they loved it. And the fan base has grown steadily, not just there, all over the world. So they're trying to, you know, globalize the sport, and I think that's a good thing.
I do too. Man, now I kind of just want to go with you to Carnival. Like that seems like a lot of fun. All right, so back to the business of football here in the United States. You lock yourself in a room. You watch a whole bunch of tape. When you watch the tape of Caleb Williams in the preseason, what have you seen?
I see a guy that sees the field really well. I see a guy that plays really loose. A guy that has tremendous confidence in his ability. The big throw to Roma Dunze in that last game that he played was an amazing throw. To get out of escape the pocket, going to his left, dropping it, you know, right where he did. I mean, he's just got a tremendous amount of talent, and you see it. You see it on the field. But I've been around Caleb. Going back to his high school days, I mean, he was working out with the quarterback collective, and I was doing stuff. And, you know, I put him in a film room when he was in Gonzaga High School when he was 17, and he knew exactly how to attack cover three, what's the best route combination against quarters. You could put Mahomes tape on. You could put all these guys out there. Like he knew what he was looking at when he was 17. And then when you saw his arm when he was 17, he had an NFL arm when he was that young. And I think he's just continue to grow under Lincoln Riley. And I think he'll do it under, you know, Shane Waldron now.
Why? Why would that be a good bet that he'll continue under Shane Waldron?
Well, because I think he wants to be good. You know, sometimes the coaching, look, it's important. It's really important. That play caller quarterback relationship is vital. But regardless, I think Caleb wants to be great. Like, I think he thinks about it. I think he would be the most disappointed person on the planet if he didn't become great. So I think it's not that he's destined to do it. I think he's willing to put all the work into doing it. He understands how to lead. He understands how to bridge the offense and the defense in the different position groups. And like, he's always done that. He's always been beloved by his teammates. And I think he's going to just keep getting better and better. Whatever mistakes he makes is all part of the learning process. But I think it's going to be a pretty sharp learning curve.
How do you feel like defenses will initially attack him?
Well, I think, you know, every team has their own personality of how they blitz. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo is different than Vic Fangio. You know, they're going to see Tennessee week one. It's a new staff, new way of doing things. I would imagine that you're going to do your weak side overloads, try to get a free hitter, break your protections down like most teams do, and attack it. You know, they're going to see Houston. D'Amico Ryans has got a great, you know, front four. Like, they're eight deep on the defensive line. Maybe they don't feel like they have to blitz. Maybe they feel like they can just keep them in the pocket. But I would imagine, you know, most teams are going to try to contain him and not get out of the pocket the way he did at Oklahoma, USC, what we saw in the preseason.
We've been talking about depth on the lines for the Bears and or lack thereof. And I keep having to remind myself that the way front sevens are being deployed now isn't just starters and backups in the conventional sense, that there's so much rotation. There are so many players in not just sub packages that anybody active there is going to play. And it is a way to keep people both healthy and happy and involved and make sure that how does Matt Eberflus put it, always being able to throw your fastball. So is the concept of depth sometimes misunderstood in that regard?
Well, I don't think it's misunderstood, but if you look at it, all these teams that are consistent winners right now in this business, there's two things they have in common. Well, there's three things they have in common. They have a great quarterback. They have unbelievable depth on the defensive line and wave guys through. And then they have a solid offensive line with some experienced veterans. And so, look, they just made a trade for Daryl Taylor. I mean, Daryl Taylor came out of Tennessee. I mean, he was a second-round pick. He's got power. He hasn't put up huge numbers, but he's a solid player. Like, he's exactly what the Bears need at that position. Now, maybe the rookie, you know, maybe Austin Booker comes on. We'll see. But it's a lot to ask any rookie in that spot to make a big impact. It's just, the game is just so different than what he played in the Big 12. So, but, you know, I mean, he's got talent, he's got size. We'll see how he develops. But, I mean, you look at what they've done, whether it's trading for Montez Sweat last year or Daryl Taylor, what they've done at defensive tackle, they're addressing the depth on their defensive line.
They're addressing it, but I am curious what you think of Jervon Dexter. And the reason that I ask is that he's making a transition from two gap to one gap. He's lost some weight and he's already 6'6", 6'7". How difficult is that to maintain pad level when you're that tall playing that position?
Well, it's essential. It's absolutely essential. So pad level is everything at that position. I mean, if you get your pads up, you're going to get drilled on combo blocks and cutoffs, and you're going up against a great center like Creed Humphrey or somebody. I mean, they're going to walk you down the line. Like, you're going to charge you an Uber fare, you know, but so you better keep your pads down. It's critical.
You mentioned it going up against a great center. The Bears don't have that. And I don't know how important the center position is to this particular regime, because they went out and got a couple of decent representative, probably slightly above replacement level centers. Is that okay, or should they work harder at finding somebody who's a plus-plus player there?
Well, I mean, Coleman Shelton has played at a pretty high level in this league. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was on the Rams' offensive line when they won a Super Bowl. Maybe I'm wrong. But, I mean, they had a competition with Bates and Shelton this summer. It looks like Shelton won the job. But you're only as good up front on your offensive line as your center. If you have an average center or weak center, you're going to get collapsed in both the run game and certainly in protection. It's critical. So I've talked to both those guys when I was at the Hall of Fame game. I think they understand it's not just calling out protections and you're with a rookie quarterback. You know, just we've seen so many bad snaps in the preseason. It starts with the snap. You can't afford that. You can't afford to turn the ball over on a bad snap. So that's that. I mean, Coleman's a left-handed kid. You don't see a lot of left-handed centers, although Creed Humphrey – to me, is the best center in the league right now. He's left-handed. I don't think it makes much difference. I mean, it's just something the quarterback has to get used to. I'm sure Caleb has no issues with it. But you're only going to be as strong up front as your center.
You brought up the idea of working with a young quarterback. With that particular relationship, center-quarterback and center-young-quarterback, what's important? What's key?
Well, the play starts with the snap. So, I remember when Ryan Jensen was in Tampa and Tom Brady came. And Ryan literally got a half-hour dissertation on the snap every day from Tom Brady, whether it was a wet ball, whether it was goal line and you're stepping hard to your right, or whether it's shotgun, or, whether you're in pistol. Like, all these things matter, where he likes the ball, where he wants the laces. Like, there's so many little intricate things. Now, look, calling out the mic is not a difficult thing to do, but when teams are stemming late, okay? I mean, I don't know why more teams don't do it, to be honest with you. As an offensive lineman, we hated it when a defense was moving at the snap. It changed our rules. But the center has to handle all of that. Anytime there's a miscommunication up front, the play usually dies. And it's really up to the center to communicate all of that to everybody, including the tight ends, the quarterback, the back's got to know it. And so your defensive coordinator is breaking the center down first, because he's going to tell you what the protection generally is. And so all those things are critical to a young quarterback.
How does Caleb Williams look to you merely, purely from the pocket?
He looks fine. I think he's comfortable right there in being able to go through progressions or understanding where the ball needs to go. I mean, I think the big thing, right, honestly, for Caleb right now, and I've only talked to him briefly about this. I'm not going to give you an in-depth dissertation, but, he never had to call the running game at USC. I mean, Lincoln did almost everything from the sideline. So, the quarterback's in this league right now. I mean, I don't know if it's 3rd and 5 and you got 2 plays called and, you might have a run up. Like, okay, are you reading the box correctly? Because the numbers are going to dictate whether you're throwing it or running it and what kind of run you do. And so just getting used to those things at the line of scrimmage it's not easy. You're going to see a million looks in college, in the Pac-12, whatever. I mean, and especially when he was at Oklahoma. I mean, they all play the exact same defense in the Big 12. So, you kind of see exactly what you're going to see, almost every game. This is going to be vastly different right now. So that's something that he's got to, that takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, I'm worrying about that, too. And, I expect every rookie, just because of the history of the league, to struggle some, Baldy. I just want to know, what's fair to expect, because the things you say about Caleb are true. And this guy seems like he's been preparing to be a professional quarterback since he was 10, 11 years old. What things can he expect to run into that he might have to deal with and learn how to correct?
Well, the windows that he's throwing into are smaller than he's ever thrown. You could put the 3 receivers that they have. It's a talented group. But, you're going to get Keenan Allen against their best slot defender, week 1 against Tennessee. And Houston certainly has a number of players they play there. And maybe the play is for Keenan. And maybe he wins by a step. Well, you got to put the ball where only Keenan can get it. And if you're doing some of the things that we saw in preseason, which they're splash plays, and Mahomes gets away with it, and Josh Allen gets away with it. But it also, you're making these throws on the move. I mean, it's not like they're all standing still there. They're all moving. And then there's things that you're not going to see. You're just not going to see certain players come into your view. And so dealing with that, dealing with the speed of the defenses and the disguise defenses, there's a lot of defenses in this league. You don't know what they're in until the ball is snapped. And so all those things are critical, and you have to make those decisions in 2 seconds. So I would think that that's going to be part of the struggle, is just knowing what he's looking at and understanding that whatever window he's thrown into, and we're just using that term loosely, but it's not going to be open very long if you hesitate or if you don't put the ball where only your receiver can get it.
Brian, I want to ask you something that your colleague at NFL Network told us. Cynthia Freeland was on our show talking about some of the analysis that she's been doing. And she said that despite the remaining immense popularity of inside and outside zone run scheme, that there are more teams that are going back to some gap-based stuff, some ISO and some duo. Are you seeing that too?
Well, that's, I mean, the good teams have always had that. I mean, San Francisco, they run a lot of things off their outside zone, but they run a wind-back play. They're a two-back offense. They got a fullback. They've got ISO lead. I mean, they basically run five plays, but it's from a variety of formations and motions and shifts. But, you know, the good teams run power. Kansas City is a big power team. You know, just watch Trey Smith go play, the right guard. He's their pulling guard. I mean, he's excellent, whether it's traps or power. I think you got to make linebackers play the run. You know, I mean, you got to test them. And so you got to punch them right in the mouth with 330-pound guards. And so the good teams have far more than just your mid-zone, outside zone, you know, inside zone plays. They mix it up pretty good.
And the reason I think about it is now that there are so many teams that don't even list a strong side linebacker anymore, that the nickel guy is a starter. And, you know, there's some old school football people who said, hell, you're going to do that. You're going to take the strong side linebacker off the field. You're going to in for a long day because we're going to just pound it at you. And I don't know if the modern game lets you do that enough.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is go back and watch Green Bay and Dallas in the playoffs and watch Green Bay run the ball down their throats with Marquise Bell at the weak side linebacker position. I mean, they just attacked them over and over again, and they were helpless. So, I mean, a lot of teams are going to that dime defense, get an extra defensive back to handle some of the passing game issues. Philadelphia will play. They'll play three safeties this year. There's teams that do. But, you know, if you're going to line up like that, it'd be a good idea if you try to make them pay and run them out of that look.
All right, so back to Brazil. How early are you going to get there, and what's the first thing you're doing when you get off the
plane?
He's
moving into his mountain lair where he's plotting his revenge with his
Well, I mean, look, the game's in Sao Paulo, but, you know, you can't go to Brazil and not go to Rio. You know, I mean, you just can't, you know, you can't, you got to go to Copacabana Beach. You got to go to a great churrascarias, you know, Mario's in Copacabana is excellent. Like, you got to eat your meat. I'm a carnivore. So, you know, you got to go play in the waves there. You know, you got to go see the scenery out there in Copacabana or Ipanema. So, I mean, I'm getting off the plane at 6 a.m. I'll be on the beach at 7, I'm sure. I'm sure I'll, you know, I'll have a big chunk of meat by noon, you know, and eventually I'll get to Sao Paulo and do the things that I'm responsible to do.
Baldy, have a wonderful time, man. I can't wait to see what you tweet and what you share from this trip. This is going to be awesome.
There's going to be a lot of talent there. I'm going to show you the talent, you know, on the field, off the field. It's good. It's easy on the eyes. I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. And I think the score listener is too. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. You bet. Anytime.
Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider. That's great stuff.
So now I've made up my mind. This is what I need. I need to kick it one night with Mark Schlereth and Brian Baldinger. I want to roll with them for just like one night because I think that's all I can handle.
I also need at least one video of Baldy grinding film on the beach. Because the guy's always grinding film.
He is.
I need a video. I need to post
something else.
is this the place he's talking about called?
Go get it, baby.
Do you say Marius? Marius?
Yeah.
Churrascaria.
Isn't Sao Paulo like a 3-hour flight from Rio?
This place looks incredible.
Like they're not. Aren't they kind of on the other side of the? Good for him.
Hey, he's got a private plane or a helicopter or something. You know that.
He clearly knows a guy.
The chief of police is
he
coming.
He clearly
there to
knows a guy.
Getting the escort off the plane.
He knows more than one guy. He doesn't have just a guy. I'm telling you, he's got like a private army. He stands on the back of a Jeep saluting people holding an AK-47. This is a made guy there.
Yeah, it's like. Yeah, that's far. It's what, like 350 miles or something?
All right, let's...
Good for you, Baldy.
We're talking about setting expectations, and let's set expectations for Hard Knocks tonight, because I guess HBO has just sent out their little preview. Ooh, and it's intense.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score, The Score, The Score, The Score, The Score, The
Score, The Score, The Score, The Score. Tell me, what's up?
Players.
You got a challenge. What's the challenge?
And the challenge is you, Caleb, and me eat sour stuff.
Eat sour stuff?
Yeah.
I got a bunch of candy in the locker room.
Let's go eat it.
No, you can't.
Wait, maybe when practice is over.
You think this is a game?
I know. I could call it whatever, man.
That's from tonight's Hard Knocks training camp with the Chicago Bears. That was DJ Moore's daughter talking about a challenge with her father and Caleb Williams eating sour candy.
So let's give respect to our partner, Layla Rahimi. She nailed this. She said that they were going to focus on DJ Moore's family, and she was 100% right. Mm-hmm. Because now they got a little taste of how adorable his family is. They're like, you know what we're going to do? More of it.
If you thought the ice cream museum was a challenge, wait till they try Warheads candy. Now DJ Moore has a decision to make.
About candy? I don't know. He should ask someone to find Derrick Rose's candy machine.
Sack machine.
He had one.
He did.
He had a Skittles machine.
He had his Skittles machine. Candy machine.
That's what they machine. What they need to do is find Jose from Logan Square. There's your story.
No, we need to find Jose from Logan Square.
He should be on Hard Knocks.
I almost wore my
he's here every year.
I almost wore my beer money t-shirt today.
You're right.
Out of respect to my peeps over at NBC Sports Chicago, maybe I'll wear it tomorrow. But you're right.
Brian Urlacher.
Well, no.
It was gas money before it was beer money.
Right. But I don't have a gas money shirt. I only have a beer money shirt.
I still can't believe that they made, like, Jen Latta and these professional reporters go into some bar in New Lenox.
And like, Dan, they make us go to bars in New Lenox.
But we're
old
but
men.
But we're us. Could you imagine?
Yeah, but it was like a lot of those people, like it was towards the beginning of their career.
Still.
And it was fun. I actually really liked that stuff. I think that most of the sports networks have gotten away from that. And I wish they would do more fun stuff. Along with the analysis stuff, that's great.
We got a lot of mileage out of those shows. And look, it created Gas Money Bob, you know, a whole Twitter character.
Yeah, and you can get fun stuff from it.
I think that's what tonight's going to be on Hard Knocks. I'm my expectations now are as low as they could possibly be. The Bears have broken Hard Knocks. They did it.
I think on purpose.
They beat it. No, they did. The Bears beat Hard Knocks. And they said, well, why is there
soft taps?
Why is there no swearing out of respect to the McCaskey family? You don't think George Halas used to swear?
Apparently not.
Come on.
No way. Never.
What is that? Why does no swearing respect to the McCaskey family? No one in the McCaskey family swears? Come on.
I don't believe it.
Like that's just so preposterous. It's a football team. They're allowed to talk like football players talk. We don't have to pretend that they're all Eagle Scouts or Scouts for the Bears, whatever they might be. But just, I don't know.
I look at where things stand in the calendar for the Bears and go, what are they going to do tonight? I feel like tonight's like a 47-minute episode and maybe not a 52-minute episode because there's not a lot of game action. This
roster
feels
decisions.
But would they do things differently now? Like the cut down is at 3 o'clock, and I mean, they don't show people getting cut anymore.
I know, but we haven't had a single shot. Correct me if I'm wrong, but one of my favorite things is coaches sitting around the table talking about players.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a little bit of that.
Positional guys, like, well, I don't know if he can block. He's going to have to do some stuff on special teams. Like that real stuff. Coaches sitting around the table talking about players. It's super easy to do. And it's always compelling. You get to hear how they talk about certain players. And you get to see if somebody feels really strongly. Say, look, I love this kid. And I can't tell you that he can step in and start for us. But I want him in my room. Stuff like that, you know? Attach themselves to guys a little bit.
Well, if ever there was an opportunity to do that, it would be this week. Because you would think that the roster decisions, I imagine the trades will be part of this. There's enough time for that to have happened where you can get Daryl Taylor telling you how excited he is to be a part of this and be a Bear.
There's a new teammate in town.
Yeah.
Bears have made a trade.
And maybe they'll speak to some of their issues of depth that they have.
Okay. I was so excited for it, and I know it's just a television show, and I know the Bears have final edit. Maybe this is the one where we get to wake up with Kevin Warren.
I mean, they were setting the scene for that last week, too, where they kind of – I thought that edit was weird.
That whole scene was weird.
Like, and it felt out of place, where you could just do the whole meet Kevin Warren. He's president of the Bears. Like, you could do a whole thing of... I thought we were going to switch up the Kevins now.
Oh, we have a new one, right?
Sticking with this one for the time being.
What the hell?
Gotta wait for the right time.
But you could do your whole Kevin Warren bit tonight.
That's he wakes up at 4:30 in the morning. He doesn't need the sound of an alarm clock. Just his motivation is enough to stir him from his slumber.
Can I just say, as a longtime sleeper, been doing it my whole life.
Wow, that's a long time.
Long time. This is a perfect time of year. Like, right here. This is good. Where, like, because, you know, I am an early riser. I do need an alarm clock. Usually my alarm is set for 5:45. But, you know, May, June, July, you'd be like, is it 5 o'clock? No, it's 4:45 right now.
See, Kevin Warren resets automatically. It's like an iPhone going through a time zone.
And I'm a sleep mask guy just for that because I'm light sensitive. If I get a lot of light, then I'm up and going.
Like Kevin Warren sleeps with his eyes open.
One eye open for sure.
Gripping his pillow tight.
Yes. Damn right.
I've gotten into the sleep mask thing.
And Metallica messed up his field.
That's right. I've gotten into the sleep mask thing.
It is key if you're light sensitive. Like, if you don't have the blackout blind, like, that was, can I just say?
Circa. Circa's got some rooms.
And they have to because, at least, were you on the stadium swim side?
No, I was on the Main Street casino side.
Even still, like, lots of lights at night, so you need really quality blackout blinds.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, the sleep mask, I'm a firm believer in it, but that's problematic too because you need one that's sleek enough that it doesn't encumber your sleep, but also that it stays like tight. I have one from you gotta be careful to slow down to say this. Sheets and Giggles, which is a sheets company. Their stuff is really great. They used to advertise on Sports Adjacent.
Have you seen Manta?
I've seen Mantis.
No, Manta sleep mask?
No.
Check it out.
Well,
it's more than I need, but there are some people that swear by it.
But my Sheets and Giggles sleep mask, which is great because you buy sheets and then they send that with it. Oh. Yeah, it's really nice. That's perfect for me. What are you laughing at now?
630. Kevin, Evan Warren wears pajamas that look like a business suit.
Orange tie.
Yes. Orange tie and the t-shirt.
See what I see. See, here's what I want. What I want is Kevin Warren rocking a dashiki. That's what I want. I want when Hard Knock shows up to his place down here in the South Loop that Kevin is like Grand Rising Brothers and has on his dashiki out here trying to get this money.
And then Farmio takes people to the ice cream museum and has rainbow cones.
Kevin Warren wakes up early. Grand Rising Brothers! And then travels to 79th and Stony. Bean Pie Brothers!
I think it's better if Eberflus also has a dashiki.
I wouldn't.
Bean pies are good, eh?
Guess what? I wouldn't be surprised if he did have a dashiki. Because now we see how that man gets down when he likes to dress. You can invite Matt Eberflus to a white party now.
Some good bean pies, right?
Where people wear white clothes, not where it's like white power. Like, no, difference.
Not that party with the tiki torches? No.
Yeah, not that one. Just one where people are fly and they're in linen.
They really should. Like this, they could make this really fun now if we did our version of it.
They didn't put us in charge.
No, I know. They should
have. I'd be here for it. I got ideas on how they can make that show way more interesting, but I don't know if it would butt up against what the McCaskies are trying to do. And it seems like they are tanking. It seems like you wanted Hard Knocks. You wanted the Bears That's on Hard Knocks.
Fine. We'll do Hard Knocks.
This is what you get. You enjoyed it.
They broke it. On purpose. They broke the toy on purpose because they could. Like, fine, we'll do Hard Knocks. It's going to suck, but we'll do it. No swearing, of course. And nothing football-y.
Well, they gave you a lot of football over the last couple of episodes. It just wasn't, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, like they're giving you super slow-mos and all the other stuff. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Now, if you really want to talk about a Chicago sports hero, we've got some play-by-play about. I'll tell you when nobody's talking about, and you haven't heard this anywhere. We're going to tell you
that was a backhanded
about there was a legend who made a return. We've got the play-by-play. We've got eyewitness testimony from others who were there. But it was an electrifying and emotional moment.
It's electrifying in
Chicago sports. We'll discuss.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
We're talking softball from Maine to San Diego. Talking softball, Mattingly and Canseco.
Yeah, we are. It was a special, special moment. I want to mention, you got to keep listening because in just a little bit, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to our live show at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville, September 17th with Justin Steele. So keep listening if you want to win. So, tell us.
What? What do you want me to tell you? This wasn't my idea.
Well, I heard something very special happen last night because the Score softball team. The Odyssey softball team had a big playoff victory.
Yeah, we beat the really nice people from Block Club last night. And like, it was enjoyable, not because we won, but like they were good, like opponents. Like they didn't take things too seriously. Like we were having fun. Like we were being ridiculous with each other, which I think is like the whole purpose of this league.
It's nice that some teams get it because some teams don't.
A lot. We're one of them sometimes.
Well, yeah, but if it's usually we play to the other team.
You're right. Like we usually will match the energy of the other team that we play. And I really like I enjoy playing against those guys from the Reader too. Like they have the same type of energy where it's like we want to win, but it's fun, and it can be fun. But the Block Club team last night, what was the final? Was it 19-8 or 8? 18-3.
18-8 was the Cubs.
Yeah, that was the Cubs. That's right. We all scored the same amount of runs last night. But they jumped on us for three runs early, and we were able to rally. So if you're like, wait, Lawrence, didn't you say you retired? Yes, I did, and that was my plan. But some things happened, and when I realized how severe they were, I was like, okay, I am in shape enough to play. I will go play. And those things, we had people who were out and injured. Like Cody, he broke his wrist or was his thumb? His
finger.
So Cody's probably the best shortstop in the league. And without him, that puts us at a deficit. Then Shane went to Greece.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he wasn't, he told us that he's like, well, I'm landing at 6:30 and our game was at 9. It's like, there's no way you're making it to that game. So that takes your starting shortstop and your starting third baseman out, which are two pretty critical positions in 16 in softball.
Uh-huh.
So Shane was like, will you come back? And I initially said no until I saw Cody with a brace because I didn't know that Cody was hurt. So I was like, yeah, I'll come back and I'll play. So I played last week to just get warm, and we played against those guys from the Reader, and the Reader beat us. They beat us 15-14. But it was fun, and I hit a homer last week, which was great. Yesterday, I had a chance at a natural cycle, but I didn't get my fourth at bat because we won by slaughter.
By natural, it's in order.
In order.
Single, double, triple, homer.
And I laughed with Lapka about this last night because the triple is the hardest one for me. Like, come on. I'm not fast at this point in my life at all.
Kind of a humble brag, right? I'm totally going to hit the home run. I can just, you know, get up there and sneeze on it. It's going to go out.
No, but a homer is easier for me than a triple.
Wait, there's no wall. You got to run just for a home run.
We do have a barrier. On one of the fields, the street is the barrier, and I hit the ball to the street.
And what's – oh, then – okay. I didn't know you had an automatic home run.
Yeah, on the one field, there is a barrier that if you hit the trees out there or the street, it's an automatic home run. Okay. On the other field, it just keeps going for like a block.
For infinity.
Like Connor, one of the guys that we play that plays with us, hit one to like the moon yesterday, but the guy backpedaled enough and caught it like 350 feet away.
Yep.
We have another Bears move.
Okay.
Brad Biggs says the Bears will place punter Corliss Waitman on waivers.
Yeah, who cares?
You don't care about Corliss Waitman?
Not anymore.
You're not a real Bears fan.
I care about Corliss High School. That's it.
I care about Corliss Williamson. That's important. All right, so let's play. This is your triple?
Is it? I don't know.
This is, all right, so the game was on the one of those slow pitch softball league pages last night. Our guy George Bliss did the game like he always does for big important games. And so this was his call of Lawrence's triple.
So here's Lawrence with Dom on third base. He swings at the first one and drills it. He drills it. Another shot. Lawrence Holmes showing like a superstar today. Is Mickey Mantle in his heart? Yes, it is. There's a triple. He leads in triples. That's him. That's Lawrence Holmes.
You could hear in the background
Mantle in his heart.
One of my teammates saying that he's lucky that he made it to third, and they are correct. They are correct.
They made it safe or made it alive?
Either.
Okay.
I was scooting, though. I give myself credit. I was scooting on that one.
And how do you feel?
I'm real sore today.
Wait till tomorrow.
No, I'll be all right because last week it was the same thing. Like tomorrow I'll lift, so I'll be fine. Our game was so late that I couldn't do like anything. So all I could do was eat and go to bed. So that's what I did. I ate, I iced, I took a shower, went to bed, slept in. I'll go deadlifts, like do some stuff, get on the elliptical, but I need rest now. So now Shane's back, and hopefully, because we don't play next Monday because it's Labor Day, hopefully Cody will be back for the semifinal.
He's still wearing the contraption on his, it doesn't look.
He's going to see the doctor on Thursday. He says he actually doesn't feel any pain anymore. So he's going to start doing the clay and the ball.
Okay, but
and stuff.
If he's only doing the rehabilitative stuff, he's a long way away from playing 16-inch softball, which most orthopedists should tell you to never, ever, ever play.
It's not great. So I played third last night, but Shane's back, and Dom played short. So I imagine that that'll be third and short next week. And I told Shane, I was like, look, I did the thing that you asked me to do. I told you that I would step in here and I would take care of this gap that we have. And he's like, no, you're still playing in 2 weeks.
No, you're
like,
not.
I'm like, come on, man. And I don't know where I'm playing now. Left out. There we go. I'm good with being this team's cheerleader.
You get a lot less sore that way.
I was kind of looking forward to trying for the cycle, though, last night. And I was the first guy up in the next inning, but we 15-run ruled them, so.
Should have said something. We could have just given them a run.
No, it's okay.
No, I'd backfire on you. Yeah. All right, our next guest is here and is going to be joining us in studio. Our friend Kalen Kaler will talk football when we return on The Score.